Good evening, my friends. Good evening and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad you're here. It's midweek Wednesday, March 7th, 2007, about a minute past 11 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Glad you're here with us. Obviously, midweek shows are always an interesting time because we're kind of getting into the flow of the week. And at the same time, watching what's coming ahead. So trying to pay attention to the now and also be cognizant of the future. It's always a mess, but we do the best we can here on the show. Anyway, welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org, the officially sanctioned website of the network. And, of course, glad that you're listening, of course, on our website, which is franklyspeakingradio.com. Our phone number, as you know, 800-313-9443. Toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. So, we have quite a bit of news and whatnot to get into, and we will do so. But, as always, your calls, your comments, your insights, your analyses are always welcome on the program. So, interesting stuff. The weather seems to be relatively calm and not a whole lot going on here in northwest Arkansas. It's been sunny, about mid-60s in the daytime, and then at night, early in the morning, somewhere down in the 30s or 40s, so, you know, moderately stable. Seen the occasional chemtrail here and there, and by say occasional, I mean maybe like four or five every day. It's pretty sad when you get blasted with the chemtrails on such a regularity that five or six is only occasional, but nevertheless, that's kind of where we're at here. And our weather's, it's been nice. It's been real nice lately. So, yeah, I don't know. I talked to Ralph Epperson earlier today, and of course, a big thank you to him for being on the show all 4 hours last night. And Russ Dizdar, I sent him an email thanking him for his marathon on Monday night, and he sent me one right back, too. So, yeah, it's just been a couple of fascinating guests. I think tonight's guest will be no exception to that. In fact, it'll be in addition to. That would be one Jeffrey Bennett, of course, from the Republic Trading Group and FederalObserver.com, www.FederalObserver.com. Lots of great information there. And Jeff's always a pleasure to have on the show. I just enjoy our conversations on and off the air. We talk about more than just work-type stuff. We actually have similar interests in other areas, too. But that probably won't be what we are discussing here this evening. Well, we're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about the money markets. We're going to talk about what is happening with all this stuff. Now, I've given you my assessment of it all. I kind of feel that basically we've been tipped off, or I should say the powers that be have tipped off their brethren, okay? The other people, the big money people, the important people, the people with more money than you and I will ever see in our entire lives combined. Those types of people, that they've been given the signal that this thing is going to be collapsed intentionally. And that's kind of how it always works. But we'll probably cover some of the basics there with Jeff about the Federal Reserve and about market manipulation, how frequent it is and in what manner can it be exposed and identified. Because obviously, it's if you think about it, I mean, there are rules to the game when you're playing with money. And if you know what the rules, you might be able to benefit, you might be able to prosper in some areas where other people may not. But at the same time, you know, maybe you're like me and you just say, I don't want to play because the game's too expensive. it's interesting. I mean, a lot of people will do a lot of things to stockpile gold and different things like that, and I think that's fantastic if you can do it. So if you have wealth, you're basically not losing anything. You're just exchanging it for silver and whatnot for gold. Silver a lot more affordable on my budget than gold, that's for sure, though. But anyway, we're going to delve into a vast assortment of subject matter with our good friend Jeff Bennett. He won't be joining us for about an hour. So at the same time, if you would like to maybe get in a phone call that maybe you got stranded on the phone lines earlier this week or maybe last week, you're more than welcome to dial in here this first hour and take us wherever you want to go. Otherwise, I'm going to dive into some news. So stay with us. We're back in 3 minutes.
Do you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625. Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
Something deep inside is dying. I try to understand my thoughts. There's nothing here that really matters.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, our Wednesday edition, Wednesday night. And, yes, okay, you know all the info, things like that. Well, obviously, a lot of big things in the news. We're going to explore some of those here this evening, obviously before Jeff joins us and probably after as well. A couple of interesting ones. This series of news stories is about Israel. This one came out on March 6th, Haaretz.com. And it says, a BBC World Service Commission poll released this week proves, if nothing else, that the nature of the question pollsters ask will determine the answers they receive. So, you can kind of gauge that just from the first paragraph, what they're saying. The Israeli news service, Haaretz.com, unhappy with the British news service, meaning the BBC, they had taken a poll. And obviously, Israel itself didn't fare all that well as far as public perception. We'll get into that. And so, you know, this is sort of an op-ed piece, although I don't think it's quite contextualized that way. But here's what it says. It is also suggested, without having to say so explicitly, that Israel is the bastard child of Satan, the troublemaking twin of its arch-nemesis, Iran. I don't think that, you know, that the poll question probably says, do you think that Israel is the bastard child of Satan and the twin of the troublemaking country, the arch nemesis of Israel, Iran? And people said, oh, yes. It's unlikely that it was phrased in that way, but that's kind of what they're trying to point it towards. Kind of like a, hey, this is no fair, this is an unfair poll, and it's done for a purpose, and this and this and this. Anyway, here's what it says. The poll, a survey of more than 28,000 people in 27 countries, asked respondents to rate 12 countries, including Britain, Canada, China, France, India, Iran, Israel, Japan, North Korea, Russia, the U.S., Venezuela, and the European Union, which I don't think the European Union itself is a country, but nevertheless. It says, rate those 12 countries, 28,000 people, as having a positive or a negative influence, presumably upon the world. Are they out there trying to make the world a better place? Are they trying to make it a worse place? Whatever the case may be. Okay, so that's the concept here. 28,000 people is a lot of people for a survey, though, I'll tell you that. But it says who, in other words, is a bad influence. Significantly, the poll was taken in November when the memory of the Second Lebanon War, bitter, bloody, and high in civilian casualties, was fresh. So a little disclaimer there saying, hey, look, this is this survey should not be taken at face value because it was right in the aftermath of a war. Well, the war took place in like July and August, I believe. And they're saying that the poll was taken at the beginning of November, that the memory is still fresh in people's minds. Well, of course it is, because that's kind of what you're trying to gauge people's positive or negative influence on, you know, world events. And they're saying, well, you know, not enough time passed since our war, so that's not really fair. We shouldn't be implicated as being a negative influence on the world just because of that little war we had. Well, that's kind of the whole point, isn't it? Really? I mean, negative or positive? Well, they're saying, well, significantly the poll was taken in November. But it goes on. According to the BBC, the survey, quote, gave respondents a list of 12 countries and asked whether they had a mostly positive or mostly negative influence in the world. The country with the highest number of mostly negative responses overall was Israel, with 56% negative, 17% positive, followed by Iran, close second, I should say, 54% negative and 18% positive. The United States was third, 51% negative, 30% positive, and and North Korea was fourth, with 48% negative and 19% positive. So they're all fairly close, honestly. Israel 56, Iran 54, U.S. 51, North Korea 48, as far as the most negative of those 12 countries, okay? But obviously, this column here in Haaretz.com, they're most unhappy with the results. They say, well, they don't say it outright, but they're saying that Israel's the bastard child of Satan. They don't say it in the poll, but that's what we understand from it, and we're highly offended by this poll. Yeah, you know, some people are just so sensitive. It kind of, I don't know, it just amazes me. I remember living in Atlanta, and a survey had come out. I don't know who it was. It was some magazine or something that dealt with tourism, and they said Atlanta was one of the, I don't know what it was. If it was to visit, it was like most dangerous or something. It was something negative. And Atlanta was listed as like the top one. And the mayor held a press conference and he's like, we will not stand for this and blah, blah, blah. What? It's a survey. It's a poll. Who cares? This is the problem. Everybody cares. Everybody cares what everybody else thinks. So that's why they're highly offended. And this is the response to that poll. It goes on to say, quote, again, from the BBC survey, Israel also stands out for having the largest number of countries viewing it negatively. 23 out of 27 viewed Israel negatively. Iran is regarded unfavorably in 21 countries, the United States and North Korea in 20. Tied for third we are in that one. The story goes on. One suspects that somewhere in the BBC's August headquarters in London, the poll elicited more than one thin smile of satisfaction. That's right, the BBC is out to get Israel. That's what they're saying. And then they back it up with this statement. After all, this is the same news organization accused by an internal inquiry less than a year ago painting too rosy a picture of Israel. So they're basically mad at the BBC for putting this out and reading it wrong, saying, hey, they're telling everybody that we're the bastard child of Satan, even though they don't say it. That's what they're saying. What? But they're giving the explanation as saying, well, we did have a war, you know, 4 months or so before this poll was taken, so that's not fair either. Huh? What amount of time should pass after a war before you don't view it as the actions of that country? certainly more than, you know, a couple of years, perhaps. I mean, you know, people still view the United States negatively because of Iraq, not just because Iraq is still ongoing, but because it's been going on for, you know, coming up on 4 years. I think that's significant. But, again, they're validating this whole thing by saying the BBC was accused of being too soft on Israel, of painting too rosy a picture of Israel. So this is the way to sort of balance the scales, they're saying. But see, the main point of the whole thing is that the BBC maybe reported the story and maybe they conducted the survey, but the BBC themselves didn't go out there and interview 28,000 people in 27 countries to get their take on it and taint all the results. I mean, maybe they did. I suppose that's possible, but that's a lot of tainting. Why not just make up the whole thing? Well, maybe they did that too. I don't know. So is this the BBC's attempt to simply balance the scales, to put out some negative stories about Israel in order to not seem like they're biased towards Israel? Eh, I think that's unlikely. I don't really think they care too much, honestly. And it is just a poll. But the story goes on. It says a total of 54% said they viewed Canada positively and 14% negatively, followed by Japan and France. So Canada is the number one country in the world. Everybody views Canada as doing good things. Everybody views Israel as doing bad things. And everybody digs on Japan and France, but people, for the most part, don't really like the United States, Iran, or North Korea. So, pollster Stephen Cull, who directed the survey, had this to say about the results. Quote, "It appears that people around the world tend to look negatively on countries whose profile is marked by the use or the pursuit of military power. This includes Israel and the United States, who have recently used military force, and North Korea and Iran, who are perceived as trying to develop nuclear weapons. Countries that relate to the world primarily through soft power, like Japan, France, and the EU in general, tend to be viewed positively," end quote. Well, that kind of explains the results right there. But yet we're supposed to think that those, nevertheless, regardless of that whole using military force, regardless of the whole having a war in the last, you know, half a year, still the BBC poll basically says that Israel is Satan. It's not what they say, but that's what, you know, Haaretz.com is saying about it. It goes on, the BBC poll coincides with the Gallup survey of Americans' attitudes towards Israel and the Palestinians, as detailed by Shmuel Rosner in his current blog. As he notes, the poll shows sympathy for the Palestinian side is rebounding, reaching its highest level since 1989. That's intriguing as well. So, you know, this is an attempt, I guess, to get some good press by creating it, by playing the sympathy card to a certain extent about the whole, oh, yeah, you're just saying that we're Satan. No, that's not what they said. But, you know, this might have something to do with it as well. This is a BBC poll, and this one came out in October 19th, 2006. Now, it's reported in YNetNews.com, which is also out of Israel, okay? But it's the BBC. So is it positive or negative? Well, it's relatively negative, I guess, as you could, I mean, whatever opinions people's opinions might be, if that matters at all. But they don't really necessarily slam the BBC for putting out the poll. But obviously the BBC puts out polls. All news organizations do. Okay? Polls very, very important in this country, if only for an excuse to put out a news story saying, here are the results of that poll we took. So here is the BBC's take on this. Now, again, this is prior to the poll that was begun in November of last year. This came out in October, which means it was even before that. But here's what it says. Nearly a third of people worldwide support the use of torture against terror suspects in some circumstances, a BBC survey suggests. Over 27,000 people in 25 countries, including Israel, were asked if torture was acceptable if it could provide information to save innocent lives. 59% were opposed to torture. 29% viewed it as acceptable means to combat terrorism. Respondents were asked for which position was closer to their own views, and then they give the choices about types of interrogation techniques and whatnot. But again, the headline here says BBC poll, world against torture, Israel in favor. So you got Haaretz with their "we're going to go pat in the corner here" results, and YNet News just saying, well, this is what the poll said, which I think is a better way to play it. But we'll read the results of that when we come back. Stay with us.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. It's a Wednesday evening. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. We started off the news segment with this Haaretz.com virtual opinion piece, although it's not stated as such, about this BBC poll that just came out, basically saying that Israel was viewed most negative of 27 countries. No, excuse me, of 12 countries. Surveys taken in 27 countries. 28,000 people. Israel was viewed 56% negative. Now, Iran is 54, U.S. 51, North Korea 48. So it was relatively close, but obviously they're very, very upset about it. Now, again, this is another story, which, again, I don't know. Maybe they didn't necessarily take offense, meaning the Israeli news about the British news in a poll in which they were, I would say, viewed negatively, but maybe they didn't see it as a negative. Maybe that's why they're not upset about it. Maybe because it's not Haaretz, they're not upset about it. But anyway, 27,000 people in 25 countries, including Israel, were asked to vote if torture is acceptable, if it provides information that saves lives. Now, here's what they were asked. Which position is closer to your own views? A, clear rules against torture should be maintained because any use of torture is immoral and will weaken international human rights standards against torture. Or B, terrorists pose such an extreme threat that government should now be allowed to use some degree of torture if it may gain information that saves innocent lives. In Israel, a majority of Jewish respondents in Israel, 53%, agreed that the government should be allowed to use some degree of torture to obtain information from terror suspects, while 39% were completely opposed and wanted clear rules against it. However, the Muslim population in Israel polled overwhelmingly against any use of torture, probably because they feel that it would be directed at them, I suppose, but... It's interesting. It goes on. And what do countries who have suffered terror attacks think? In the United States, 58% oppose torture, 36% in favor, 6% have not made up their minds yet. That, to me, is a sad, sad thing. I don't know where you stand on it, but 58% are against torture, 36% are in favor, 6% aren't sure. They haven't made up their mind yet. How do you not make up your mind on this? Now, you could say, well, it's very much a quandary. It's very much a dilemma here because, you know, you want to save lives, but at the same time, you don't want to compromise somebody else's. Because what if you're wrong, right? I mean, you got somebody and you say, well, they might know something, they might not know something. Let's go ahead and put them on the rack and stretch them, find out what they know. I will say this. I'm against torture. And maybe you could say maybe I'm biased. Maybe Frank is thinking that he'll be arrested in some police state swoop and just be thrown into jail and tortured for information. I don't have any information. I'm not that interesting. Nobody really talks to me. But what I'm saying is that I think we should be against torture because it's the high ground. Because being against torture is the high ground. And I've had this discussion with people I really, really admire, people I really, truly respect, people who I more often than not on the same page with, but I inherently disagree with something like this. Because again, it's something that requires a little bit of extra sort of distancing from in order to pick this thing apart. Okay? And that's difficult to do. But I think at the same time it's necessary. It's much like the idea of, again, one nation under God, in the Pledge of Allegiance, in God we trust, in the currency, Ten Commandments in the courthouses, things like that. Prayer in schools. A lot of people be like, hey, that's a great thing. I don't think it is. Because, again, I don't think we need the government's permission to do something. You don't need the government's permission to feel about God how you want to feel. If you're saying the pledge, even if it's at home, and there is no audience, and you say one nation under God, and you say it really loud, good for you. But you shouldn't need to perform. You shouldn't need to showboat how you feel about God. You can if you want to. That's fine and dandy. But what are you doing it for? Are you doing it for His glory or for your status? You know, in church, let's say the pledge in church, and let's yell "One Nation Under God," and I'll yell louder than my neighbor over here because I'm more spiritual than he is. It's a competition. Well, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, you could say, well, you know, Frank, I don't agree with you, and that's fine. You're more than entitled to disagree. These are just my opinions, and I kind of feel the same thing about torture. Which, again, if it saves lives, should we do it? I think you could make a case, just like you could with prayer in schools and everything else. But at the same time, how do you know? How do you know? And they'll say, what if they have information that a terrorist attack is imminent? Well, how do they? Where did that come from? That come from the same intelligence that said there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? That these ice cream trucks or chemical weapons laboratories on wheels, I mean, whatever it was. You know what I mean? Where's it coming from? I think that you have a certain amount of credibility when you meet someone. And that person can speak to you about something, and you'll believe them or disbelieve them. And maybe when you first get to know them, maybe you take it all with a grain of salt. And maybe they become your closest friend in the whole world, and you trust everything they say. But what if they're wrong? What if they lie to you? What if somebody lies to you nonstop and said, trust me, trust me, trust me? Well, you probably won't trust them. Isn't that kind of where we're at here in this country? We've been lied to so many times. If they came out and said their terrorist attack is imminent, we need to torture these people. What do you think? I would still say no. I would say, how can we trust you after all that you've done? Stay with us. We're back in three.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth. Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. Wednesday evening, you're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. We're talking about torture. You know, it's interesting because when you think about it, a lot of people, and obviously it's 58% of Americans who were polled, now that's just who were polled, are against it. Now, I will say this. I don't answer the phone when the pollsters call. Never. It takes way too much time, and I just, you know, I'm happy to share my opinions with you guys, but you know, who are these guys to invade my space and ask me what I think about all this stuff? Yeah, it's just, it's not going to happen. So 36% are in favor, 6% haven't made up their minds. I don't know how you cannot have an opinion on this unless you just have not put really the mental wheels to it. So what I was saying is if they came out, if the government said, hey, look, we want your opinion. What do you think? There's an imminent terrorist attack. It's going to happen, but we need to find out where and when. And my question is, well, how do you know it's imminent? Well, because some guy told us. What guy? A guy that we had and that we captured him. And he said, hey, you know, there's going to be a terrorist attack. It's going to be huge. We've been hearing that for years. Have we not? We have been hearing that for years. Not just from the tourists, but also from our government. It's a matter of when. It's not a matter of if. It's going to happen. So what's this big? What's the big push for torture? What's that all about? How do you have enough intelligence to be 100% sure it's going to happen and yet not know any more details than that and therefore try to rationalize torture? Well, here's the answer. You can't. It doesn't work that way. It would never work that way. And people would never believe it anyway. So what do you have? Well, then you take somebody, you deem them to be enemy combatants, a status that has no legal rights, no guarantees to them. You deem them as such. And then you do low-level torture. Now, again, I've had discussions with people I truly, truly respect about this. And they said, oh, come on, loud music, you know, cold temperatures, hot temperatures, that's not torture. Yes, it is. Absolutely it is. It doesn't matter if it is physically harming them. The idea of physical bodily harm for torture is to do what? Anyone? It's to break the mind. It's to break the spirit. Well, if you're doing those things, you're breaking the mind and breaking the spirit without touching the body. Loud music. And hey, look, I listen to music loud. My headphones are cranked up pretty good ways, you know, here on the program. I play music, so, you know, I listen to music loud. I don't listen to stuff I don't like loud, and I don't listen to it 24 hours a day loud. And I may like to have the air conditioner on in the summer, but I don't like it cranked down to 30 when I'm butt naked, chained to the ground in an uncomfortable position. Oh, that's not torture. Really? What if it was your kid? What if it was your kid at summer camp? How about that? What if it was your parents? Right? Your parents went away and said, hey, we found this really cool thing, and if we go to this condo presentation, which only lasts like an hour, then we get a free weekend in Florida. It's a great thing. And then they say, no, you will stay here at our condo presentation. We're going to run it over and over and over. And we're going to chain you to the floor naked. And we're going to turn the air conditioner all the way down. We're going to make it really cold in here, and you're going to sit here the whole weekend. You'd be the first one yelling torture, wouldn't you? Meaning those who don't think it is. Because I think it is. I think severe discomfort for a long period of time designed to break your will or your spirit or your mind is torture. Okay? And you can say, oh, that's just mild discomfort. Look, you're not going through it. So you might think it's minor in theory, but in practice I think you might feel differently. Anyway, that's the point I'm getting at here, is this whole idea. In 24, I remember when that show first came out, everyone was like, this is such a great show. If you've never seen it, I can't tell you much about it because I've never seen it myself. But the gist of it is, it's called 24. There's 24 episodes in a season, and each hour-long episode is an hour from the day that this whole show takes place, in a span of 24 hours. But they have 24 one-hour segments, okay, which you'd think, gosh, you know, I know I work a lot, but I do sleep. Can you imagine a whole hour of just the main guy sleeping? No, he's got to take a dump maybe. Something like that, maybe. Don't want to show that sort of thing. But anyway, I'm digressing. 24 has sort of evolved or devolved, if you would say, into a situation where, you know, all the time, they're always torturing somebody to find out some information. Always, always, always. Terrorist attack's going to come. Nuclear bomb's going to hit or be detonated. Dirty bomb, radiological, chemical, biological. I guess that's sort of the gist of it. I don't know. And the whole point is that they use the torture. And there was a story last week that said that these interrogators in the military got some of their interrogation ideas from 24. Can you believe that? These are professionally trained interrogators, and they're learning things from watching TV. Oh, that's a cool one. Yeah, if we twist his arm up like that and handcuff him here, that'll be awesome. That'll be great. Let's do that from now on. Let's see how well that works. Dangerous precedent, obviously. But at the same time, I wonder if that 36% of the people who are in favor of a certain amount of torture, maybe I'll watch that show. I don't know. But the point is, folks, they don't call it programming for nothing. That's what it's all about, is conditioning people gradually to accept certain things. Now, supposedly, the government's going to say, hey, you can't do this and this and this, blah, blah, blah. Some stories about that. We'll see how it goes. But the point is, folks, is that be aware of yourself and your thoughts and your opinions and your mindset on things. And ask yourself, have I been conditioned in a certain manner? I think we've all been conditioned to a certain extent, right? I mean, I think we can agree on that, correct? And you might say, no, 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 I've never been conditioned. Yes, you have. It's 11:40 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone. I have been conditioned to know that it's going to be dark at 11:40 p.m., have I not? You say, no, you haven't. That's just the facts. It's the facts because it's always been. Because it has happened with such a constant frequency that it's dark at 11:40 p.m. that I pretty much assume it's always going to be dark at 11:40 p.m. What if it's not? Then my conditioning is broken and I'm kind of like, I'm going to sit out here and blink in this unusual sunshine because I've never experienced anything like this before. Doesn't make any sense to me. because I've been conditioned. So not all conditioning is bad. You might be conditioned to the point of giving the wife or husband a kiss before you walk out the door. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad kind of condition. Not all is. But then again, it does creep in the form of fiction and entertainment. And that's why, you know, we talked a little bit about Hollywood last night and things like that. And that's why it's so important that we understand why we feel the way we feel. You know, there's so much talk about being angry about immigrants and being angry about terrorism and being angry about the administration, being angry about, you know, church doing this or not doing this and prayer in schools and things like that. And that's why I don't get angry. I just say, you know what? I have my thoughts. Everybody else has theirs, and it's fine. There's no real occasion to go out there and just be angry about stuff. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, to make a long story shorter, at least a little bit, 36% in favor in the U.S., 6% haven't made up their mind. In Britain, where a large-scale terror plot was recently thwarted, 72% are against retrieving information from terror suspects through torture, 24% are in favor. So they just had a fairly large terrorist attack, and 72% against it. In the United States, 58% against. In Israel, again, as the story speaks of, 53% said they should be allowed to do that. Absolutely. So 24% in favor in the UK, 36% in favor in the US, 53% in favor in Israel. Now, granted, their frequency with which they deal with terrorism is a lot more than ours. At the same time, though, at what point does the end stop justifying the means? Says the poll was conducted in Muslim countries. In Iraq, which suffers daily terror attacks, 42% in favor of torturing terror suspects, yet 55% are against it. And again, there might be a little bias there, quite simply because at any given moment they could be deemed a terror suspect. In Egypt, the figure drops to 25% in favor, 62% against. The rest are undecided. So these are what we would deem to be third world countries. This is what we would deem to be the poorest, the most uneducated, the worst societies of all time. They're not of all time, but you know they're dealing with a lot of problems on a regular basis. You'd think they might be in favor, but they're not. So I guess they're maybe in a better place than we are. In China, 49% are against, 37% in favor. In Russia, 43% against, 37% in favor. In India, which has suffered from terror attacks, the data is intriguing. 23% against, 23% in favor. 45% have not yet made up their minds. So maybe if they have another one, it'll solidify them in favor of it. But see, all I'm saying here, folks, is that you got to look at the source, okay? And if the government comes out, first of all, they wouldn't ask your opinion. They'd just do it anyway, and they'd say, hey, this is how we justify it. We figured it was an important thing. And if they did thwart a legitimate terror attack and somebody was maimed or whatnot, then they would say, okay, well, I guess we can look the other way. This is what I'm saying. Whether it's been true or it's not been true, I would say in the past, the perception has been that the United States of America operates on a different level than most other countries. And if you're in another country, I'm sorry. I'm just saying that that's been the perception, that America is the land where, you know, paved with gold and the Statue of Liberty saying, give me your tired, your poor. And that's what it's about. It's a land of opportunity. It's a land of compassion. It's always supposed to have been. And at the same time, it's also a land of law, where we do have laws and laws are obeyed. We know better. And it's unfortunate that we have to sort of burst the bubble for people who still think this is true. But the point is that the people who think that we are at a different plane of operating morally, that we're better than somebody else, wake up and smell what you're shoveling. Because here's the thing. We have lost any moral high ground we've ever had. Whether real or imagined, it's gone because of this stuff, because of this torture, because of the and they're saying, oh, it might save some lives. Well, you've been doing it at Abu Ghraib and Bagram Air Base and probably a myriad of other places, Guantanamo Bay. You've been doing the torture, and we're still hearing about deaths all the time. So is it working, really? Well, we staved off a huge terrorist attack. Really, when? Can't talk about it, so it's classified. Oh, okay, well, what, should we trust you then? Is that what this is all about? Should we trust the people who have given us such honest answers about September 11th? who was involved, why it happened, when it went down the way that it did, why the buildings collapsed, why they collapsed in that fashion instead of just falling over. All the things that, that physics and science and whatnot have come to terms with, a variety of different answers depending on which source you choose from, some more legitimate than others. The point is the government has always poo-pooed anything, any asking questions as mere conspiracy theory. Why can we not ask questions? Why is that a bad thing? Because we're supposed to blindly, obediently trust everything that they say. And that's a problem for me. I've always been a contrary individual. And at the same time, I want to trust. I want to believe. And maybe that's idealistic and naive of me. But I do. I want to believe in this country. I want to believe in the leaders we elect and in the causes that we fight for. I want to believe in the things that we pursue. And I want to believe that we're in it for the right reasons. I want to know that we're in it for the right reasons. And maybe that, like I said, was naivete in the past, but at the same time, it's still something to push for. It's still something to desire. Anyway, what I'm saying in essence here is that I don't see any legitimate information that a terrorist attack is imminent that would justify torture, even of just some peon person that you might think very little of from a third world country with little or no education, really nothing to offer the world, not going to be out there benefiting society in any capacity. It doesn't mean that we should stoop to that level. That is a moral issue, and everybody has their own morals and whatnot. But I am a citizen of the United States of America. Well, that's what the paper says. So I feel like I can weigh in on that one. But for your own personal opinion, you are more than entitled to it. Anyway, a series of additional bad press that Israel's getting. This is from Haaretz. This one came out on March 1st. It says, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said in Sudan late Wednesday that, quote, Zionists are the true manifestation of Satan, end quote. That's according to the state-run IRNA news agency. Now, see, I thought the BBC report said that Israel was Satan, but apparently it was the president of Iran who said it. I guess they crossed some wires there. Anyway, said Ahmadinejad, during a state visit speaking to a meeting of Sudanese Islamic scholars in the capital of Khartoum, he said, quote, the Zionists are the true manifestation of Satan. He also said, quote, many Western governments that claim to be pioneers of democracy and standard bearers of human rights close their eyes over crimes committed by the Zionists and by remaining silent support the Zionists due to their hedonistic and materialistic tendencies, end quote. So that's what he's saying. Ahmadinejad, the big supporter of human rights. I don't know that there is a country anymore that legitimately is in favor of human rights anymore. I mean, but again, you know, I used to think that we were. Now I know better, unfortunately. It goes on, both countries do not recognize Israel, and Israeli citizens are barred from entering Sudan. Oh, that's how they feel about it. I guess they kind of agree. So he's kind of maybe catering to the crowd there on that one. This is an intriguing one as well, and this one came out yesterday, YNetNews.com. It says, several hours earlier on Sunday, you probably would not have heard German Bishop Gregor Maria Franz Hanck choose such a divisive analogy. What he said was, quote, this morning we saw pictures of the Warsaw ghetto at Yad Vashem, and this evening we are going to the Ramallah ghetto, end quote. On Sunday morning, he was still in Israel, and the rhetoric was considerably different than the one elected by the German Bishops' Conference once they crossed over into the Palestinian Authority on Sunday evening. The visit of 27 members to the German Bishops' Conference to Israel included a historic first-time visit to the Yad Vashem Holocaust Memorial Museum in Jerusalem, as well as guided tours to sites holy to Christianity and meetings with Christian congregations in Israel and in the Palestinian Authority. During their time in Israel, the bishops uniformly made moderate and balanced statements, but once in the PA, the Palestinian territories, they provided German reporters accompanying them with a plethora of harsh proclamations against Israel. Their criticism received widespread coverage in the German media on Monday. While crossing one of the checkpoints into East Jerusalem, the Archbishop of Cologne, Cardinal Joachim Meisner, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, he said to reporters, quote, this is something that is done to animals, not people. End quote. Meisner, a resident of eastern Germany, said the fence reminded him of the Berlin Wall and that in his lifetime he did not believe he would see such a thing again. As the Berlin Wall was brought down, so this wall will be brought down also, he said, adding that the fence served no purpose. The delegation's visit to Ramallah took place several hours after their visit to the Yad Vashem Museum, and several of the bishops close chose to equate the situation in the Palestinian Authority with the Holocaust. Said the bishop of Augsburg, quote, cages in the image of ghettos, end quote. Augsburg was once the spiritual leadership of Pope Benedict XVI, who was Archbishop of the Munich Freising Archdiocese, and his brother Monsignor George Ratzinger still resides there. Said Bishop Honk, who later stated he intends to amend this year's Easter message to German churches so as to include the delegation's political impressions from their visit to the territories and a demand to change the situation. He said, quote, Israel has, of course, the right to exist, but this right cannot be realized in such a brutal manner, end quote. So that's kind of what it boils down to. This whole discussion is about perception, what other people think about what you're doing and maybe what you're doing. So we'll wrap this up here when we come back after the short break. Give us 3 minutes, folks, and then more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called Wrist Ease, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. Wrist Ease comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, Wrist Ease is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. Wrist Ease is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. Wrist Ease provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order Wrist Ease now at wristease.com. That's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE, wristease.com. Once again, that's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE.com.
I'm seeing all you.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. And as we head into the bottom of the hour here, again, just a couple of brief moments here to recap a little of this stuff. So again, BBC poll, as mentioned by Haaretz.com, says that Satan is bastards. Israel is Satan's bastard child. In essence, what they said is that people feel more negatively about Israel than they do about any other country. And Haaretz.com not happy about that. And then this one from YNetNews.com back in October said the world is against torture, meaning the majority, but in Israel, the majority favor torture to some degree. And then I sort of said, well, that's kind of a moral and ethical quandary, more along the lines of what are you going to do to accomplish the job, the end justifying the means and whatnot. And to me, it's a touchy subject, but, you know, again, you can't do everything to accomplish what you want. And that's sort of what these German bishops were saying. And that's my take on it. And again, this is it's hard to say how it was reported in the German press, where they had all these German reporters following around the German bishops and getting their comments on different things. And one of them said, Israel, of course, has the right to exist, but this cannot be realized in such a brutal manner, meaning the treatment of the Palestinian people. We've heard a lot of horror stories about that whole conflict, and it really goes down, you know, to the point of saying that most of the stuff I've heard seems to indicate that the Palestinian people get the worst end of it. But that's just what I've heard, and, you know, from people who've been there, guests who've been on the show, and different things like that. But maybe they're all wrong, maybe I'm wrong, or whatnot. But the point is that at what point we need to ask ourselves this, every one of us, because we are living in America. If you are living in America, then it applies to you. But if, you know, wherever you're living, it applies to you too. But here in America, it's the government is supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people, which means when things are being done, like torture and rendition and various other things, term enemy combatant designation, these things are being done for us, for our safety, for our peace of mind. At what length will we allow this to go? At what point do we say enough is enough? And how do we say enough is enough if that's what we want? All good questions, but all I can say is that you have to ask yourself that too. And you might be of the mindset that kind of is like, well, you know, hey, as long as I'm not doing the torture, it doesn't really affect me. And yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not your sin necessarily, but at the same time, these are the things that are being done in this country for a variety of reasons, but the explanation is, of course, to fight terror, terrorism, which, of course, causes terror, which is fear. If we weren't so afraid of being hit by a terrorist attack of any magnitude on any day in any city, then they would have no footing to advance this agenda further. But granted, and I'm sure most Americans would probably agree with me, that they're not really scared of terrorists doing various things. That it might happen, it might not. It's a chance everybody takes. When you get out of bed in the morning, you're going to be hit by a car. In your own bedroom, maybe. You know, if you're on the first floor, a car could drive through the wall. But you don't know that. So what do? Do you live fearfully, or do you live? Difference right there between existing and living, and I choose to live. I don't want to simply exist in a cage. A pretty cage, but a cage nevertheless. A cage that's nice and safe and warm and dry and everybody's happy, but it's still a cage. So I think not just here in America, but all countries need to ask, what point? Hey, we're doing this in the name of safety, security, convenience, freedom, this and this and this, and it just goes on and on and on. Anyway, just a sort of internal dialogue there, done externally. Stay with us, back in about 90 seconds.
You got a headache?